Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two wheels. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont. And on this week's show, we have, of course, the Austrian Grand Prix to discuss, but I think the big news everyone wants us to talk about, Yuri, is of course the major announcement that MotoGP from 2023 will have sprint race weekends at every single Grand Prix event, which has caused quite a stir amongst riders on social media, amongst the media. It's everyone has an opinion. I mean, first of all, I just want to get your opinion on it.
Well, I think it's good for the championship. I think it's really good for the championship. It got me a bit of a surprise to when I found out that we're going to be all the races, because it would be a huge commitment. But yeah, I'm super excited, and it shows that the promoters and all the parts involved in the MotoGP Championship are really pushing for that change that hopefully will bring this sport and will make the sport more reachable, or will make the sport will bring the sport more to more fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably going to be one of the few topics that we might have a disagreement about, because, I agree. I think it's necessary that MotoGP does new things, and I think a format change was probably long overdue. I mean, we haven't had a major format shakeup since the change in qualifying format 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily believe sprint races are the way to go. Certainly not 21 sprint races a year. You know, I think the way Formula One does sprint races is maybe a better system than just having 40 races a season.
Well, I think it opens a window for a different scenarios that we're going to find out next year. Of course, it increases the risk of injury, but at the same time, it also gives you the possibility to come back if you have a grey period or dark period of results. So I understand that all this controversy that has created by the news, but again, there's nothing that can be modified. So next year we're gonna start doing this, and if at the end of the year they believe, the promoters together with the riders, with the teams, with all the manufacturers, they believe that it's a bit too much or far too much, for sure they can adjust and reduce the number of sprint races for 2024.
There is definitely a lot of learning to be done about the whole thing. I mean, one of the biggest controversial sort of points about it was that when you first reported the story, it took a lot of riders by surprise. You know, they said that they'd only really heard rumours about it. They hadn't been properly consulted, and some riders in particular, Fabio Quartararo, Aleix Espargaró, were very unhappy with that particular situation, and the subsequent press conference, which again left a lot of answers that needed to be, well, a lot of questions that needed to be answered.
I would say that the timing was not the best. Let me explain. When I found out, of course, I found out about that on Thursday night, with, let's say, I'm not gonna get people bored about how we work, but I got my first input on Thursday night, but then I needed Friday morning to double check and triple check that. So by then, there was set a safety commission meeting like every Friday after the sessions, okay? When we reported the story, it was, if I'm not wrong, Friday 11 European time, okay? So, and after that, I don't know, maybe a couple of hours later, the promoters set the press conference for the day after, an exceptional press conference for Saturday noon, I think 11:45. So the problem was, in my opinion, and I can be wrong, is that they set that official and exceptional press conference before telling the riders what was going to happen. But few of them already knew that were talks and that were discussions going on about this matter. So a lot of them already knew the situation. But in my opinion, the timing was a problem. That if the promoters had decided to postpone or to push the press conference for Misano, it would have been, let's say, the riders would have been, in my opinion, probably less aggressive. Because after the safety commission, when we spoke with them again the day after, they were more relaxed.
In the press conference, Arta President Hervé Poncharel said that it's quite hard for confidential information to be shared with riders, which I don't necessarily believe, because riders spend every single weekend sort of not telling us the truth. So I think riders are quite good at keeping secrets.
But this one...
There are a few things...
Yeah, but let me say that this one was a super sensitive topic, because you're going to have different opinions, and whoever believed that this change could play against him, it would be, I would say, a threat.
When exactly this plan came together, because in the press conference it sounded like this was very much formed based on the fan survey, but then a day later Carlos Espeleta said that the idea was beforehand and that luckily the survey supported it. So it's a little bit of confusion there, I think, to when exactly this plan came together, because it sounds like it came together quite quickly.
I'm super, super happy that we did together the survey, and don't get me wrong, but I think that Dorna has realized that probably the sport needed some changes before the survey, you know, and the survey, I would say that probably confirmed that feeling and underlined that direction was the one that they were going to go.
Which is lucky in a sense, because if the survey said something else, then it would have been slightly problematic.
Exactly.
But that's not for us to say, really. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. I think there's a few things that need to be cleared up. First of all, is that people seem to think that because you might not agree with sprint races, that A, you won't watch them, and B, you don't think they'll be exciting, which I don't necessarily think is the case. Sprint race will 100% be an exciting thing to watch.
100%.
It'll be, you know,
100%. 10. Can't wait.
The big fear is that will a sprint race devalue the main race if you have 20 sprint races? You know, will the main Grand Prix sort of lose its special status?
I think in I don't want to make people unhappy or angry at me, but at some times I think that people overthink about if you analyze what we're going to have the Saturdays next year, it will be super exciting. It's the race that at least I've been dreaming about. I mean, full gas, No, I mean, the riders are going to be able to not think all the laps about tire consumption or fuel consumption. So we'll be pure racing. Okay, only for 12 laps. Okay, but 10 laps, but it will be pure racing. That's what I was waiting for. That was, it brings us back to the old kind of racing. So, and let's see, because at the moment, I don't know if I would prefer two sprint races, one Saturday, one Sunday, or one sprint race and one regular race. I'm not sure. Let's see what these sprint races bring us, because I think that it will be amazing.
Yeah, I think you've kind of hit, maybe raised a key point there, is that it's, I think next year should be used as a test. So maybe, I think this is why having all races as sprint races is a problem for people. Maybe if you did it at 10 races,
well,
test it out, see how it works, and then do more.
Yeah, as I told you in first place, I was surprised that they're gonna do it every weekend. But that, okay, let's wait and see. Maybe in the race 7th, in the Grand Prix number 7, the riders cannot even stand and they say, okay, we need to readjust, blah, 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 or we don't. Yeah.
This was a point raised by Fabio, actually, was the fact that some circuits, that will be quite tough, because it has been said that the track time will be the same, but I think Aleix made the point that a race is not, even a 10-lap race is not the equivalent of an FP4 session with the strain and the mental, you know, exertion, which I think is a very interesting point that does need to be, that will only be discovered when we do the sprint races.
Yeah, 100%. And there's another, I mean, it brings us to another point that we will find out, and for sure the teams will be looking into each other, because I think that the perspective of the weekend, like as Mark said to us on Saturday afternoon in an interview that we did, he said that the point of view of the weekend will be completely different, because the approach will have to be different. So again, it gives us a different input that we haven't had until now. So, and I think the sport gets more rich by all these kind of elements that we now have to take in consideration.
For 100%.
Even the approach.
It will be good for television.
Yeah, and even the approach to the title contenders, even the approach to the championship fights, even the approach to, you know, you will have a lot of more races and a lot of more ingredients to think about, and it will give you a better or a bigger range of things to play on your favor or against you.
Come triple headers, you know, will riders, that will be an interesting thing, you know, having two races and, you know, each weekend three weekends in a row. That's a very interesting kind of factor as well to include. And you're right about the championship, it creates new problems. Some people have raised the kind of concern that won't only be answered until next year, is that what happens if you get shoved off track on lap one and you can't get back into the top nine, because it's only top nine that will get points for this race. Do you then just pull out? Do you wait? That's I guess we won't know the answer to that, but it's a fair enough question.
Well, but in my opinion, it doesn't make any difference that it happened to you in a proper race, because if you are off track, you are out of the race. I mean, no matter what. Okay, if it starts to rain, maybe you have a chance. But how many times have you seen that? I mean, in Formula One,
you
can have that.
In a longer race, there's more chance of things happening, I suppose, and the fact that points are down to 15th. I think it's fine to be critical of the sprint race plan and to question it. I think I don't think it's right that people just go, it is what it is. Like, it's good that people have questions about it, but I guess we'll just all have to wait and see, and we'll find out come Portugal if it's good or not. I mean, it will be exciting, that's for sure.
That's my point. I think it will be super exciting, and that's in the end, that's what I think the all the parts involved are looking for.
Whether it's the right idea, we won't know until the end of next year, which is the thing. I think it is a good idea in principle, but I think it needs, I don't know, it needs something different. You know, if you look, I think it needs something like the F1 sprint race, where, you know, the sprint race has an impact on the main race. You know, so if you, you know, if you win the sprint race, you're on pole for the main race. That kind of, do you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah,
kind
yeah,
of,
yeah. Well, but yeah, but I mean, given the points that they're gonna give, and given that it will be for all the races, the amount of points that they are gonna get all the championship, it will be huge. It will be, it will be huge.
Yeah, what's clear is that they would never have been able to do something like this maybe 10, 11 years ago when you only had two or three riders winning races. This proves that the championship is in such a position where you can do something interesting like this, because, you know, many people are competitive, which is...
But I mean, the impact of the sprint races in the full picture will be huge, much more than in Formula One, of course, because in Formula One, I think this year and last year we had only three, or they are gonna...
Yeah, it's only...
Only three, which is means amount of points in compared with the full points, it's less. Here, it's 50%. I mean, if we think that the championship will be around 20 races, it will mean 500 points. Only with the sprint races, they will give 240, which is a huge part. It's a third of the points that the full points, which is a lot.
I guess we'll wait and see. I guess it won't be the only debate that'll come up about this over the next few months. But let's talk about the Austrian Grand Prix, because there was a race that weekend, if people noticed. And it was another kind of significant one in the championship, because it was another win for Pecco Bagnaia, who is now, you know, 44 points behind Fabio, who himself had a very excellent Grand Prix. It's kind of hard to sort of see where the championship picture is, because Fabio's come out of a Grand Prix he should have struggled at a lot, with a second place, very nearly won the race, but Pecco is now only 44 points behind. It's very hard to read this championship right
well,
now.
Well, yeah, it's as you say, it's really hard to read, but we are in a similar position than we were before this Grand Prix, with one race less. And I would say that the one who has left Austria with, let's say, reinforced the most, I would say it's Fabio, because 100%. He is in an outstanding level at the moment, and he did a race, a chapeau. He did a similar race than the one he did in Mugello, on paper difficult track for Yamaha, and he did an amazing job with an amazing overtaking maneuver. Jack Miller in that chicane, and so heads off to him, and that's why I think that he's building up really, really, really in a good manner the his title chances.
Obviously, we go to Misano next, which is a good track for Yamaha in general, but it is a good track for Pecco. And you have to say that these next two tracks, Misano and Aragon, are very, very crucial to Pecco's championship for the rest of the year, because they are, on paper, the two tracks he should win at. And right now, you know, Pecco is the rider in form. He's been brilliant since Assen. But you have to think that these next two races are the most important for Pecco this year, if he is going to then fight for the championship come the end of the season.
I would put it in another way. Yeah, I know what you mean, and I fully agree with you. But I would put it in another way. These next two races will be the most important for Pecco in order to face the most important races for him. But for getting into second level, he needs to perform really, really, really well and get some points from Fabio first. So I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, of course, these two races are the most important for him. But in order to get to the most important, even most important than those two. Because if he's able to reduce the gap with Fabio in those two races, the championship changes completely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he has to... It's not enough just to win and you know, if Fabio second, because I think from this point of the championship, Fabio could win the championship by just finishing second if Pecco wins every race, if my maths is correct, which is not always correct, so don't quote me on that, but I think what...
Yes, yeah, 100%,
5
35.
Points out of the next would be like, yeah.
Well, but...
I
mean, I don't think so, but by 3 points, because now it's 30... no.
44. So, yeah, Pecco's disadvantage.
So 100%, yeah, he would be...
Look at me doing maths on a Monday morning.
He would be champion by finishing second in the seven remaining races.
So what Pecco needs then is his Ducati teammates to be up there. He needs Jack to be running behind him. He needs, you know, whether Ducati likes team orders or not, they have to use that advantage that they have. They have to get Martin up there, they have to get Zarco up there, they have to get Enea up there and use them as a block.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. I don't see any better track than Austria for this to happen. So if Ducati was not able to put any other bike, any Desmosedici between Pecco and Fabio, I don't see how that any other track can make it happen. If Fabio doesn't make any mistake or blah, blah, blah. But in a regular basis, I don't see any better track than Austria, than the Red Bull Ring, for this to happen.
Maybe the only one that would be close would be Thailand, perhaps. But Thailand's generally been quite a good track for Yamaha.
Exactly.
So, but this is the thing. We go to these flyaway races where we don't actually really know what's going to happen because we haven't been there for a few years. And Japan, Thailand races that could be strong for Ducati. But then you have to look at places like Phillip Island, which... You know, if Fabio gets out in front on a track like that, he will be unstoppable.
Yes, 100%. So I think Japan, we can have a strong Ducatis, and even in Malaysia, I think that they will be strong. But
it's interesting though, which is what we want. We haven't had a really exciting championship battle for a few years, which is nice. You know, hopefully we get it to go down to Valencia. Yeah. It would take a big effort for that to happen from the Ducatis, but. You know, it would be
nice.
And don't
forget Aleix.
In that instance, this is the thing. Aleix has had kind of an unrepresentative couple of races because Silverstone, he was injured, but before that, he was one of the quickest. Austria was an odd one because they changed the tyre casing like they did in Mandalika, and that seemed to really upset the Aprilias. So he hasn't had a clean run of races, which isn't an excuse, but you have to think going to Misano, going to Aragon, tracks that the Aprilia is quite good at, and Aleix is very, very good at Aragon.
Yeah.
Just on Aleix, I mean, on a bad weekend, he still comes away with a sixth place finish, which isn't good when Pecco and Fabio are 1 and 2, but in the grand scheme of things, when he was 12th at the end of lap one in that race with the hole shot problem, you know, he's doing everything he can every weekend, pretty much.
Yeah, we cannot say nothing to Aleix because he's been in an outstanding level during the whole season, and I was not expecting him at the beginning of the year at this position, at the position that he's at the moment. So, there's nothing to say about him because we have another example with Maverick, a super fast rider that has been finally able to catch up, and he's there, but he doesn't have the consistency of Aleix. Even in a bad day, he's able to do this, which is if your worst day is you finish fifth or sixth, it's perfect.
The other big story from the weekend and kind of looking forward to the end of the season, because it could have an impact, is what happens with Mark. Because we saw Mark in Austria, he was there with Honda and he spoke to the media on Thursday, and of course he spoke to you about sprint races as well. But he seems in very good, positive form, and you get the impression that it won't be long before we see him on a bike.
Yeah.
He's kind of ruled out this Misano test is when he will come back, which you know, we know Mark's not going to do anything stupid. He's not going to jump back on the bike straight away because he knows the consequences.
Yeah.
But I think we will see him in the final few races.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
You've been saying for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to have Mark at least two or three races. I would make I would put my money on that we will have him before Malaysia.
Malaysia, Valencia, kind of good tracks for him to come back. Malaysia, he knows from this year already. In Valencia, there's the test.
Yes.
Which is really what Honda need him for. So, I mean, just your kind of general impression from that Mark kind of debrief at the weekend. How do you see him? How do you see this the rider now compared to the rider at the start of the season?
I see him super happy, to be honest, and he's the biggest threat for all the rest of the riders. You see his face again. We've been talking about that. He's Mark again. He's making jokes. He's, let's say, relieved because he's starting to feel that the arm heals well. And now, and not only well, but straight, which is the most important thing for him at the moment. And I think that all the others started to see. I was there on Friday after FP1. I was in the Honda hospitality having a coffee. And then he came in and he went into the meeting. That was the reason for Mark to go to to the Red Bull Ring. In that meeting was in one of the rooms. I mean, in the hospitality inside, you have to, if you want to go to the meeting rooms, you have to go through the stairs, and then you are inside with, let's say, I would say blind glasses, or how do you call it? The dark ones, okay? So you cannot see from outside. Yeah. And I saw them inside. You can identify only the shape of the people, but you cannot see what they're talking about. So in that room were Mark in one side of the table, and in the other one were three Japanese's, were Kubata, was Kokubu, and which is the kind of a project leader, and was Wakabawashi, which was the former HRC president, and also Alberto Puch. So that was the meeting that brought Mark to Austria. After that meeting, he went to have lunch, and then he fly out. I think that, he's super excited, and he's really, really, really putting the basics to change the or try to change the approach of and the philosophy of HRC, which is not going to be easy for him. Not even for him.
No. Honda has been leaderless for a while. They haven't had, you know, a strong voice to really pull the project forward. And it seemed to me like Honda really wanted Mark, the Honda race team wanted Mark there to send sort of a clear message publicly to Japan that, you know, you need to change. I am saying so. The six-time world champion says you need to change. And it felt very much like Mark was kind of, it was almost like a war cry for Honda, like to kind of re-energize them, which they haven't had for a while. You know, you listen to Paul, you listen to Stefan, you listen to all the other Honda riders, they're very downbeat, very, you know, sad. You know, Mark was very kind of the first sort of positive kind of, you know, uplifting thing we've heard out of Honda for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most clear, the clearest voice of the project, and the one that probably the other job. I mean, in the end, it's very difficult. I've been, and as you did as well, I've been in touch with all the other Honda riders for the last, since the beginning of the championship. And what we can tell is that they are super frustrated because they don't have power enough to change that philosophy. But Marca does. So that's why he is, he's saying the things super, super clear, and that's that's what I think Honda will have a huge work to do in the next months, because we spoke with Paul and he said that for him at the moment, those are not his words, are mine, but I think that what he wanted to say is that Honda doesn't show any trust on the riders. Paul is leaving, Alex is leaving, but it's the only, I mean, even Taka. With Taka, they bring a lot of things to Taka, and then Taka crashes every time. But I would say, okay, if you are in this situation, maybe you can try to rely on the other riders that you have at the moment, because the situation is super, super, super bad. So, I don't know.
More so than Mark's talent is Mark's leadership. I think that's the key thing that will be the strength for Honda next year, will be Mark as leader.
100%.
On that note, Yuri, I'll let you get away. I know it's been a long weekend for you. Thank you ever so much for joining me, as usual.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much to the listeners for tuning in again. Of course, you can listen to all of our other podcasts on your various podcast platforms, and obviously keep up to date with everything going on in MotoGP right now on Motorsport and Autosport.com. We're expecting a lot of rider market shuffling to happen over the next couple of weeks on the run-up to the Misano weekend. And of course, we've got Andrea Dovizioso's last race coming up. So lots to discuss on our next edition of the Tank Slappers podcast. But until then, it is a very warm goodbye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.